We're back once again, only on It's Last Call. Last Call with the alcohol, only on the Last Call podcast.com. And joining me here on location, this man once again, well, he will be breaking you down to a big scoop. We're also going to be previewing some big fights. And well, as you know, he pulls no punches, takes no dives. I give you once again from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and Canada's second favorite son after Sami Zayn. I give
Oh.
you Manny Montreal. Manny, so let's start off here with you got some breaking news here, some inside possible breaking news. So I'm letting you go out there. You're going to break the story here. What is going on with this new news that you're hearing?
So there's a rumor out there that a Canadian boy has landed a very big fight, and that would be Teofimo Lopez versus Steve Claggett. Now, there are some detractors. Obviously, some people don't know who Steve is or what he was capable of doing or what the story he has in boxing is. But I think a lot of people are going to be surprised. I think people's lack of knowledge is going to come and kick them in the ass. And same goes for Teofimo. I'm hearing of a potential June 29th date, which the internet world has not released yet, but it looks like Teofimo is going to be stepping back in the ring in Florida June 29th.
All right, so let's first talk about this. Why Florida on June 29th? Because you could have put that in New York or in Canada, where probably more fans are going. Why is this landing in Florida, where neither guy really has a fan base?
Honestly, I don't know, but Steve hasn't really been about selling tickets for a minute now, but Teofimo, I would have assumed they would have done a New York crowd, but if you pay attention, for all this talk and everything, there isn't really a big New York fan base following Teofimo. There isn't a big Honduran or Spanish fan base following Teofimo. There's your everyday fans. There's the people that remember that he did a backflip during the Heisman thing. But about that, I mean, us boxing hardcores know him and respect him and recognize what he was able to do, and that he is truly an unorthodox boxer. But I do not think he is the ticket seller that he thinks he is. And for that fact, there's a bunch of young stars right now that seem to think they're bigger than what they really are.
Now, this is all, as of now, this is all, basically, prevalent on, hey, Steve Claggett has a fight April 11th against Michael Hahn Jr. If that fight goes through, he has to win that. So does that fight go through, or do all of a sudden we see like, Claggett is pulling out of this fight?
I don't think Claggett's pulling out of the fight. I think the bigger offer came in. And if you, just to give you guys a little backstory on Steve Claggett, I believe he's got seven losses. So to the layman, it seems like an easy night's work. But if you go pay attention to those losses, hell, if you go pay attention to any of his fights, it's action from bell to bell. He makes everybody work for their money. And for that fact, I can at least count four times for sure that he got robbed because he was promoterless. Hell, he's gone to fights with no corner, like as a pro. And I'm talking more than 25 fights in just because there was no money for the guy. He's been robbed abroad before. He's been came close to his opportunity and got robbed, or just barely fucking, made it or squeaked out a loss. He's famously, me and him got to know each other because of his rivalry with an Yves Vudis, former Montreal great. And if to know Steve Claggett is to love boxing, that is the reality. Because if you watch the hardships he's been through, how he's persevered through it, now today to have the big machine of Eye of the Tiger behind him, to have a true training camps and true teammates, and being sent elsewhere to spar with real potential future contenders out there, he's getting the work that he should have got about 15 years ago. And some may say it's too late for Steve Claggett, but you know, maybe, just maybe, this has been the moment he's been waiting for. Teofimo's going to walk in there thinking this is just a tune-up fight for him. And if he takes him lightly, Steve Klaget's going to be an other nightmare.
So, all right. So, when do you hope that this gets basically announced? Because I'm guessing, you know, it's
well, there's rumors on the internet right now. You got the Boxing Voices got a. Please go look at the Boxing Voices post about this and then go look at the comments, because there is a flagrant amount of dumb people on this planet. And if you ever needed proof of that, you could go find it there. You know, just to point things out, there's been a couple guys in the States that have mentioned that it seems like it's a potential deal. No one's actually made a fight poster yet. It's not out there yet. But as per my sources here in Montreal, Steve's been in camp for already 3 weeks, and it's not for the opponent that's announced.
Well, we're going to go back to this later on, but let's talk about the other fight that is going through, even though you, me, and everybody else are like, why? Ryan Garcia versus Devin Haney Jr. Why has nobody pulled a plug on this? You know, basically said Ryan needs to be on meds, or Ryan needs to have like a wellness check, because he's been focusing on everything except boxing. He's going on these, you know, and as I said with Christopher Carlson, look, I understand, but you know, child, you know, sexual exploitation is a real thing. I get, you know, I understand that it is going on, but he's just, you know, when he's talking more about that, talking more about the Illuminati, even boxing, it's like, okay, why are we doing this fight when it looks like he really isn't in shape to be fighting?
Okay, so what other reason would we be talking about him right now? Had he not done all this? We're in the Paul Brothers social media era of boxing, unfortunately. And the reality is, why is this fight happening? Because it's either now or never for Ryan Garcia, because he is a year or two away from getting a disc jockey sports job, you know, on the radio somewhere in California, or, you know, maybe getting a permanent spot on Hollywood Squares or something. You understand? He's going to move on to the realm of, you know, he's the island boy of boxing at the moment. And we're going to move on to the next flavor of the month when we're done with him. I've been saying for a long time, the kid's, you know, overhyped. When I saw him fight here in Montreal on the Saunders Lemieux undercard, I didn't get it. I understood that he was a good looking kid, but I know boxing and I didn't get it then, you know, and the machine was behind him. So that being said, he's either legit crazy, which in a sense we'll be getting rid of him now, so we'll be done with this stuff hopefully, and he'll go fight, I don't know, Adrian Broner somewhere in an Indian casino, or he's been playing everyone, kind of Jake Paul style, just saying stuff to aggravate people or make people talk, which ultimately I can't really get mad at him for, because with today's day and age, if you don't do that, you're not going to get fucking paid to a certain degree. And then the last thing, I want to point out that, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, some people want to believe in conspiracy theories and stuff, and like, yeah, but he's talking about real intense subjects. Let's put a pin in that for a second. If you were really worried about child trafficking, there's things you can do. For example, 2 days ago, here in Canada, an Ontario boxing gym owner got discovered for being one of those people. And he seemed to have had a computer full of bad stuff and like a 20-year track record of messing with underage kids. Now, the reason we're talking like this right now is because of the social media and the internet right now. Certain things get highlighted and flagged. For example, this man is the word I want to say that we can't say, right? He's not a pediatric doctor, but there is a pedio term there. And that being said, if you Google it, the headlines are all man charged with multiple sexual assaults, man charged with illicit sexual materials on computer, but it doesn't say the actual word that we need to call them by. So me, this guy that works 40 hours a week in a container place and does this boxing thing out of love, I'm going to do something about it because I'm going to talk shit about this guy every fucking chance I get now. I will not let this rest. I will not let people I know associate with him or defend him. And I'll go out of my way to fuck with this guy. As far as the kids in his gym, I already know that the proper people have been called and they're trying to find these other guys free memberships in other gyms just to get them the fuck out of there. Because you can imagine, even if it wasn't you and you were working out there, you would no longer want to work there. That is something concrete that is being done about a really shitty, ugly thing, okay? Ryan Garcia, with all his social media power, is saying empty words. Because if he wanted to go and make some real positive changes out there, if he wanted to be a man of God and talk about Jesus all the time, he could go hit Skid Row. There's, within 15 minutes from wherever he is right now, there is plenty of things that he can solve. So, you know, I do think it is for the promotion. I do think it's a hot topic at the moment. You know, Ryan probably got screwed by P. Diddy. You know, Puff Daddy really ultimately fucked over Ryan Garcia here because he came out with the more sizzling, gross stuff. So, you know, TMZ is not going to give him the attention he was hoping for. So now I guess he's got to focus on the actual fucking fight. Now, as far as that goes, I think Devin Haney and his people know exactly what they're doing. And I do see this going the way everyone else sees this going. Probably Devin Haney with a lackluster, boring win. Because I don't see how this is going to be a huge, crazy fight. Gervonta even knocking down Ryan wasn't like this huge concussive. We talked about it for a year. Wow, Gervonta's knockout power or anything like that. So I think, sadly, more will have been said about this fight beforehand than after.
Can Devin Haney actually win? And when I say that, I don't mean to win the fight because we know he's going to win the fight. It just feels like, okay, he can't win no matter what in this fight. If he wins, okay, great. You beat up a guy who might be having, you know, just not even not checked in at best or worst, probably had a mental break. If he struggles and this is a full boring fight, well, once again, who the hell gives a crap about Devin Haney? He was trying to get the star power. And if he loses, oh my God, yeah, he might as well just hide in some hole and, you know, end up like, you know, Prince Andrew, just shut himself off from the rest of the world.
Yeah. I will say a loss will not be very good. It would be a resurrection of Ryan, which I don't know if boxing can handle at the moment. Yeah, you know what the thing is, though? I think anyone in the position of winning is facing that kind of criticism, that kind of issues. For example, if I were to ask the average boxing fan if Ricky Hatton was a good champion, they're all going to answer yes. If I ask them what they thought of Manny Pacquiao, the 99% are going to tell you he was one of the greats, maybe the greatest. You know, there's a list of names I could keep going, but ultimately, if I say, well, Mayweather beat Hatton, Mayweather beat Pacquiao, you know, you get your detractors. Yeah, well, Pacquiao's shoulder, the age, the drug tests, Hatton was done. I heard Hatton was having a beer before the fight. You understand? So all the excuses come out after the fact. But beforehand, Hatton was a fucking fantastic champion, right? It's just when you put him in the light next to Mayweather, all of a sudden you start making excuses. And that's kind of what's going to happen to Devin Haney because the kid is good. He's very slick. I personally think him and Shakur are the most dominant small men in the game right now. But that being said, they're gonna fall, like any winning fighter is going to fall into that trap that, unfortunately, no matter how good you do against who you do it, people are always going to say something. Usyk, for example, you know, still not getting entirely the credit he should get. Same goes for Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder, or I could go on.
True. I mean, but you look at, you know, Haney, it's like, okay, 31-0, 50 knockouts. And then you start looking, going, okay, his last knockout was all the way back in 5 years ago against a guy named Antonio Moran. And all his fights, it's the same thing. It's a jab fest, loss of boxing. At times it can be dull. He himself is really not a personable guy in terms of personality. His father's a trash talker. I mean, it's basically like, okay.
We could be doing this interview in the 90s about Mayweather right now. Word for word. Word for word. When Mayweather was fighting the Angel Manfredis and the Arturo Gattis.
But he was knocking him out. I mean, you can say that, but when, you know, Mayweather, when
was always, I'm just saying the criticisms that very similar, you know, the father and the this and the that. All I'm saying is right now the kid's winning. He's boxing smart. I think he'll end the game with all his fucking faculties. And that being said, you're saying, yeah, he's 30 fights in, hasn't really done anything. We'll talk when he's near 50. And trust me, I really do think he's going to get up to 50 fucking fights, probably 45 or so.
No, I understand that, but he is not a draw. He just, nobody wants to see him. It's like washing paint. And unlike Mayweather, who early in his career, he was knocking people out. He was a monster. You could, you know, he was action packed. Mayweather at least could sell himself. I mean, Mayweather at least understood, okay, I'm going to be the bull. I'm going to be this. Haney doesn't have any of it. It's just, he is a boring guy.
When Mayweather was at his height, right? Would you say people would order a UFC the same night as one of his fights? Like if there was a UFC pay-per-view back in the day of the Mayweather days?
No.
No. There was no. And if there was, it was Shogun Rua in the main event and the rest of the undercard was like shit. You know, Shogun versus Iceman. Maybe we'd tune in for the main event, but we weren't tuning into the rest of it. And I say that because the competition was different. Also, society was different. Floyd would fight and, you know, they'd have him on all the major talk shows. It was important. Boxing was relevant again. As sad as it sounds, it's just not at the moment. And the closest thing we get to relevancy is Ryan Garcia and Jake Paul and, you know, McGregor. If it wasn't for these, you know, circus acts at the moment, I don't think boxing would get the press that it used to get. And that has to do in part with where society is today and also the type of fighters we have today. Because there is no, as dominant as Usyk is, okay? He is never going to cause a panic for cameras to chase after him to get a quote. The man, he's very little words. Yes, he's going to say something funny and charismatic and he's going to be nice. But it's not the same as Mayweather, where people will literally run down a hallway to try and get a quote from him. You know, the mania is not the same. And nobody's been able really, you know, Tyson and Mayweather, Roy Jones had a bit of it, but it's been quite a few years since we've had that kind of mania. I can't tell you the last time we filled up a bar or many bars to watch a fight. But I think it was in the Mayweather days. So it's a different world today. It's kind of hard to put the same demands on these fighters today. And then you got to consider things like Showtime and HBO was in the majority of people's homes, one or the other, right? Sometimes both. Right now, as far as fighting, I mean, last night I had to switch between two things. And, you know, the weekend before that, I had to switch between three platforms also. And everything's on a different platform. Nothing's streamlined. Nothing's super easy to get. You have to have a subscription. I'm not at home. I don't have my phone. I can't use my tablet. They tried making it easier, but in reality, they made it harder for people to get a hold of.
Which I understand. But at the same time, as I said, for a sport that is trying, for Devin Haney, who's been trying to go, you know, as you said, he's trying to become a star. He's trying to do this. He's a guy who is, you know, in a lot of ways, he's kind of boring. He's ended himself. He's been through how many promoters now? 3, 4, 5. We're not sure. His father basically does the talking. He is the personality. He himself has sometimes goes on these spurts where it's just jab, 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 jab. I mean, he is basically, you know, like Guillermo Rigondeaux in a lot of ways. He is offensively not interested in brawls, which I get. That's smart for him, but Unlike Mayweather.
It's nice boxing. Okay, it's nice I'm boxing, but villain. It's not selling.
Yeah, he is Demetrius Andrade, except smaller. And I like Andre, but neither of those guys are going to make money unless you get Ryan Garcia, which that seems to be the thing. It's like, okay, he's desperate enough, and he's going, all right, I'll take the circus show with Ryan because I need some pay-per-views. Nobody else wants to buy me.
Look, I think the only guy doing it right now and has been doing it right for a while is Tyson Fury, as weird as that's going to sound. If you look at it, everyone else, like the Jake Pauls and whatnot, they're trying to promote by sensationalism or shock value or, you know, memes or taglines, or they're trying quick little things. Tyson Fury is an all-around character. If you put the camera on him for 10 minutes, you're going to get something that goes viral. He's going to say something about jerking off 20 times a day. He's going to eat an entire chicken while complaining about his opponents not making weight. He's a character, and he's from that gypsy breed where they're just all characters. So, unfortunately, Devin Haney, like you mentioned, is using his dad because the kid's cardboard. And Teofimo Lopez probably reads at an eighth grade education level. You know, I don't care how many books he wants to hold under his arm. You and me both know he's using the audio version. You know, there's nobody out there right now that just you have to shut up and listen to. You know, Ali had that. If Ali spoke, people shut the fuck up because they were like, well, what's he going to say? Right? It's kind of the same thing with Tyson Fury. It was the same thing with a little bit with Roy Jones. Right now, for shock value, people do it with De La Hoya and even Bernard Hopkins, but it's all shock value. No one's just being their weird selves, so to speak. And, you know, I feel like everyone's trying to pretend to be something that they're not, or this is what they think a boxing champion should look like or sound like, so that's what they do. Tyson Fury don't care. Tyson Fury is entirely himself, and that's what comes through. I think in anything, and to link this back to your Sami Zayn reference before, if you look at pro wrestling, the guys that eventually get to the top or make a lot of money are the guys that are able to tap into that thing that's the closest to themselves, but at an exaggerated level, so that people can feel something in common with them. The age-old story of The Rock coming out and being the good guy, and you know, the young son of a fighter, and he's always smiling and stuff, it just didn't work for him. When he turned into an asshole and acted like a Hollywood star, people started loving him. There's countless stories of people doing that. Ultimately, I think a lot of boxers are trying to put on a show, and instead of letting themselves shine for who they are.
So this leads me to my last subject, and we're going to switch what we were going to do and talk about this. What can women's boxing do to get to that next level? Because we've seen right now, right, the big thing is women's sports, and it was soccer, women's soccer that blew up, and that's become big. It was UFC, women, Ronda Rousey. Now it's still big. We've seen WWE with Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley. That's big. And now women's basketball with Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, you know, the women's Final Four, you know, 12 million people watched the last one against Iowa. And now another 13 million watched one against Iowa and UConn. Unless you're Katie Taylor, nothing has worked in women's boxing. And
not even Katie Taylor. Not even Katie Taylor. Katie Taylor is as exciting as brown cardboard. Listen, we just mentioned this. It's the same thing for the ladies as it is the men. You know, if I were to put up pictures, just a face shot of different female boxers to some random people, and try and gauge who the most popular 10 female boxers are, I am willing to bet you anything, dollars to donuts, Ebony Bridges is number one. I'm not talking about skill. I'm not talking about championships here. I'm talking about who people recognize. And the reason why is Ebony Bridges is in commercials. She's doing that Forge thing. She's seen with McGregor at the Roadhouse premiere. She's a smart little cookie. And she puts herself out there. Is she a freaking 10? I don't know. She's probably better than I can do. But she ain't no fucking 10. Okay? But she is working every last fucking inch of herself. Personality, laughing, smiling, the shirt popping boobs, the whole fucking works. But ultimately, she knows a couple of good fart jokes, and she seems like a chick you can have a beer with. And a lot of guys fucking love that. So, she's the only one that has a fucking ounce of personality. Amanda Serrano, I feel like if I were to have a conversation with Amanda Serrano, she would have, like, give me a talking to at some point. She feels like a mean school teacher. Taylor's, you know, she's a sweet Irish girl, but I mean, I don't think she's ever partied or had a drink or been past midnight. You know what I mean? She looks like a church girl. And we don't know is the ultimately thing, the ultimate thing, because they don't show their real personality. We don't get to discover who they are. Melissa St. Ville, unbridled ball of human energy. If I could choose my death, it would be in between the sheets with St. Ville, because I feel like that'd be a good death. She is absolutely undeniably herself. And if you put a camera on her, she's going to take up the entire fucking frame. She's not a huge boxing star, but that personality got her as far as it did in boxing. I think, ultimately, women's boxing doesn't need help from someone else. I think women's boxing needs a compelling story. It needs a girl that other girls can get behind, that guys want to marry and girls want to be best friends with. And unfortunately, Ebony Bridges doesn't have the skill level. She does have the personality, and guys want to marry her, and girls want to be her friend. But the day we get the combination of that and a true talent will be the day that women's boxing starts getting elevated.
So is there anybody like that? Is it Alicia Baumgartner, who looks like she's, you know, the ultimate, you know, sort of gladiator?
I'm a 40-year-old male, and she's on more testosterone than I am.
Is it Clarissa Shields then, who has the pedigree, the Olympic gold medalist, undefeated boxer? That has
more to do with America than it does anything else. America still has a bit of a race issue, and unfortunately, you know, although she appeals to the urban crowd, and I'm sure she can sell out a club in Atlanta, I do not think, you know, if she were to go do a signing appearance at a country western bar, that I don't care how many Beyonce songs come out, they're just not going to come out in droves for her. So part of that is knowing your audience. You know, she could definitely sell herself. If I was Clarissa Shields' team, I'd have her be doing everything that Cat Williams just did. Breakfast Club, I'd go send her with that football player that's always laughing fucking funny. I forget his name. The Shay Shay Show or whatever it's called.
Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp. I would go and send her and do all those things. I would make her do late night TV, and I think maybe you'd have a shot there. I do not think we're going to put her on a Wheaties box, even with the Olympic medals and whatnot. I do not think she's going to be America's darling, but she can be America's bad girl. She can be America's Tyson. She, for now. But the other thing to remember is she's at the end of her career here. There's only a couple years left. So we need new blood, and we need somebody that gets it from the start.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, I give you, all the way from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, I give you Boxing Insider Guru. I give you Manny Montreal. So, Manny, once again, before we let you go, where can fans check you out at? Where is the YouTube, the X, Instagram, the website? Where can fans hit you up at?
I am on every platform known to man, but the most popular one would be Instagram, Manny Montreal. Look me up. I'm there every day.
Manny Montreal, ladies and gentlemen, once again, always an honor and pleasure to have you on the show. We come back. A lot more going on here. Only on It's Last Call. Last Call of the Alcohol, only on the Last Call Podcast.com.